Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by UC Santa Cruz, chosen by the National Cancer Institute to launch the Cancer Genomics Hub in the quest to decode cancer. More information available at ucsc.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The Legislative Analyst's Office reports California raked in the cash in January, $5 billion more than the Brown administration expected. There are several theories as to why we're doing so well. The simplest is that we're back in the black because the economy is back on track. Other theories don't lend themselves to rhyme as easily. The other major supposition is that a lot of wealthy people cashed out their investments late last year to avoid a hike in federal capital gains taxes this year. So we could see a proportional drop in tax revenues down the road. If you can make that rhyme, you're welcome to email us at calreport@kqed.org. Cal OSHA has levied a record-high fine of nearly $1 million against Chevron over the massive fire at its Richmond refinery last August. Agency investigators report they told Chevron in 2002 it needed to replace a corroded pipe, and that pipe is the one that ruptured and fueled the fire. The state also finds the San Francisco Bay Area-based oil giant failed to follow emergency shutdown procedures after the leak was found on the day of the fire. Altogether, the State Division of Occupational Safety and Health issued 25 citations, including 11 considered willfully serious. Chevron said it intends to appeal, especially over the characterization of some of the errors as willful. For the second time in her life, Senator Dianne Feinstein is gearing up for a major battle on Capitol Hill over gun control. After yesterday's testy meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee, it's pretty clear she faces bipartisan opposition. Jacob Fenston has more from Washington, D.C.
It was the first congressional hearing on gun violence since the December massacre in Newtown, Connecticut. Wayne LaPierre, who heads the National Rifle Association, told a packed Senate Judiciary Committee room that more gun control laws won't work.
Teaching safe and responsible gun ownership works, and the NRA has a long and proud history of doing exactly that.
2 decades ago, Senator Feinstein pushed through an assault weapons ban. But the NRA got its way a decade later when that ban expired. Now Feinstein's renewing the fight. She rejects the GOP argument that heavily armed citizens mean safer communities.
Sure, we can have guards at schools. What do you do about the malls then? What do you do about our movie theaters? We can't have a totally armed society.
Even many Democrats are wary of supporting an assault weapons ban and would prefer to strengthen background checks and crack down on gun trafficking. For the California Report, I'm Jacob Fenston in Washington.
Border agents and customs inspectors are exposed to endless opportunities to switch to the dark side. Drug trafficking, people trafficking, bribery, and so on. The vast majority don't succumb to the temptation. But enough do to make it worth asking who's policing the agency from the inside. Andrew Becker covers border and national security at the Center for Investigative Reporting. He joins us to talk about what his latest reporting has uncovered. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Customs and Border Protection is the nation's largest federal law enforcement force. When did that happen?
Over the last decade, the agency has added thousands of Border Patrol agents who patrol the desert between authorized border crossings, and also at those authorized crossings have also added thousands of agents.
How many people are we talking about?
The agency now overall has nearly 60,000 employees.
It seems the spike in corruption you've detailed in a number of reports followed this hiring spike.
There has been this correlation with an increase in corruption-related crimes and arrests. However, according to an internal study that I recently reported on, they're not 100% sure if there is an actual causation between the hiring increase and more corruption.
Your latest report details this internal study that was done for the Department of Homeland Security, and they didn't want to give it to you. You got a hold of it.
I did. The report was completed about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, and for whatever reason, Customs and Border Protection did not make that public. And I really haven't heard much from them.
It would seem, at least from my read of the story, that the Inspector General's office, which is the agency that's supposed to investigate corruption, is overwhelmed, understaffed. Or is that too kind a way of putting it?
They have really struggled over the last few years to deal with the amount of corruption. They've testified and said we have a backlog of more than 1,000 cases, and they had to unload hundreds of cases, or they decided to unload hundreds of cases to other internal affairs agencies to investigate those complaints. Subsequent to that, they've come back to Congress and said, we're not overwhelmed. We don't have a backlog. We can handle it.
So if Congress called you on the phone today and said, Andrew, what do you suggest? You've been looking into it. What would your top three suggestions be?
To follow along with what the findings of this report suggested, one is a border corruption task force. There are, give or take, a couple of dozen around the country that are run by the FBI. That has been an effective model. The agency, by law, also has to polygraph all of its new applicants. But some of the tensions that have lingered for years still need to be addressed at higher levels of government.
Can you give us a typical case on the California border where somebody crossed over, so to speak?
One particular case has to do with a rookie agent. His name was Luis Allared. And Allared had served both in the Marines and the Army before he joined Customs and Border Protection, working at a San Diego area port of entry or border crossing. Less than a year after being assigned to the line, he was waving through loads of marijuana and people into the country. He had been working with his mother and some other relatives who lived on the south side.
Now, there you have a former soldier. Seems like a good bet. What went wrong?
I've spoken to Luis, and it breaks down for a variety of ways. It's greed. It's maybe family allegiance. When the FBI and other investigators raided his home, they found nearly $200,000 squirreled away in a sock drawer and other parts of his house. I guess it was too easy to say yes.
Well, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Andrew Becker covers border and national security at the Center for Investigative Reporting. There's a link to his latest story at californiareport.org. We did contact the Department of Homeland Security and Customs and Border Protection to ask them about Becker's story. DHS had no comment. In a written statement, Customs and Border Protection said the overwhelming majority of its employees, quote, work tirelessly to keep our country safe, and that the agency fully cooperates with investigations of alleged misconduct. That's the California Report for Thursday, January 31st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation. With nomination information about the 2014 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards, available at www.irvine.org. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as balancing network traffic for improved performance. Barracuda.com.